Good evening and welcome to Hutton Orbital Live. As is usual for midsummer, things are getting a little quiet about the place. I'm Rudolf Hucker and I am your host for the evening.
Mr. Wotherspoon's sunning himself somewhere. Palantir is entertaining Miss Palantir. Atris has gone for a long nap. And Haxwing are too busy partying after all the burning stations were fixed. Yes, still. I'm Amelia Hawke, and I'm taking a few minutes out from eating dangerous things to be a news presenter.
I'm Norma Snockers, and I'm only here because the air conditioning works.
And I'm here because Norma told me to be.
And now, on with the news headlines.
Civil unrest as Spider-Mind systems go to war.
Alvin appeals for a new trucker deal.
Keeping it together, Palantir style.
Hairy Hutton hipsters, haute couture coincidence.
Saving the day is all in a day's work for Hutton. Lou has the latest.
And Norma's been keeping her eye on everyone. An update from around the galaxy. There are reports that combat zones have been popping up all over the galaxy this week unexpectedly, mostly on coffee tables. Yes, Spider-Mind systems have declared war on anyone that's game. They've started delivering the introductory battle packs to anyone that was interested, and a few who'd forgotten they were interested, and it has led to spontaneous outbreaks of the battle variety. These packs contain everything the budding battle pilot needs to plan and execute a series of daring combat scenarios against whoever they see fit. They can simulate the pitch and toss of a combat zone without risking any more than a bit of face when they're beaten by their kids on the first attempt. Of course, as it's designed for tabletops in a gravity environment, and we're all used to space, and of course, due to the lack of little legs, people are reporting bad backs. Many pilots are arriving at their battle and discovering that due to a lack of opponents, they're doing a lithobreaker. Just with no rebuy, and no chance of having to use their remlock before getting picked up by rescue services and returned to the nearest station. Hand in hand with this warlike delivery, Spider-Mind Systems have launched their latest innovation, the Ice Dice. We reported on these a number of weeks ago, but interest amongst bored tritium miners appears to be high. Spider-Mind Systems have reminded everyone that even though their new dice are edible, the ones provided on arrival at a CZ should not be swallowed or put into your Centauri Mega Gin sling.
After many years, Hutton's long-standing contract with Lacon Spaceways is under review. Yes, Alvin has been looking into whether truckers actually do enough trucking to keep the executives over at Lacon happy, and whether there are any sponsors out there who embody being a filthy trucker even better than the purveyors of space cows, Longhorn Type 7s, and of course, the mighty, mighty Asp. With the exclusive deal coming to an end, the tagline, only from Lacon Spaceways, might be a thing of the dim and distant past. Has Hutton reached the stage where our orgiastic parties and mighty basking mean that Sword Corder would be a better fit? Or is it the cobbled together nature of the radio broadcast and seat of our pants style more suited to a Falcon and a Lacy? Should we be fighting the Federation as they are nearest neighbours and forego the obvious deficiencies of the clear mad as a box of frogs head President Hudson, stamp our decals to something sturdy and painted in federal grey? Or is the behemoth that is Brewer Corporation more in line with Hutton's ethos? With Hutton's expansions moving ever outward, much to Alvin's disgust, is a Coriolis or a carrier more akin to the beast that is Hutton than the already oversized Type 10? Alvin has opened an invitation to tender from the Galaxy's media mega corporations as to exactly who wants to sponsor the Hutton Helper going forwards. He's gladly accepting bribes, bobbleheads, belly rubs and bacon bites as part of the package, and we aren't allowed to mention the other word.
As the in-system announcement says, some pilots, when it comes to the big day, get the collie wobbles. I'm not sure if I can go through with this. I've not even written my vows, and other such jitters. There is a class of man, though, for whom these jitters were at the time non-existent. A man of forthright intent, of determination, of blind optimism, and a total denial about a life of servitude. There is also a class of woman of infinite patience, of tolerance and kindness, of capacity to grab on with both hands and not let go, even if her chosen one turns purple. Just occasionally, out there in the blackness of space, two such people meet, fall head over heels in something, hopefully not toxic, and actually manage not to be one of those wedding barges. Palantir and the lovely Lady Palantir are one such couple, and this evening, as an excuse for not being here on the radio show, they've accepted the crew's kind offer of a free trip on a beluga to a nearby nebula for nibbles and nuclear daiquiris. After 40 long years of being married, they're celebrating entering another year, and we'd like to wish them a very happy anniversary today. Though, if we could get our Palantir back, please, Mrs. Palantir, once you've finished gazing into his eyes, we'd be very, very grateful. After all, this marriage is in the top 1% of marriages out there.
Hutton hipster Harry Mungo took a break from restringing his ukulele and decided to become an eccentric inventor in the style of his much-loved Victorians. After his initial ideas for a heated moustache twirler and an automated trouser braces tensioner ended in visits to Nurse Wyeth, Harry Mungo decided to move into the realm of fashion design. First of our resident yuckies offerings is the action wrap. This consists of a length of brightly patterned material which is wrapped around the wearer's hips and covers the top part of their legs. Said garment is then secured with a pin and belt which houses a utility pouch made from a dead badger. Mungo said of the garment, "So the guys love the action wrap. They say it, like, frees them from the societal oppression of trouser wearing, yeah?" Next, we have the low-rise top hat, described as a two-dimensional exploration of head joy, which challenges the accepted view of a top hat as a tall black hat. Mungo said that his invention changes the perceptions by creating a flat, round top hat in tweed. At 5,000 credits each, these garments aren't cheap, but customers in Harry Mungo's boutique on the Parade are happy to pay, citing artisan tailoring and Mungo's inspirational artistic vision as justification for charging 100 times the price of normal garments. Harry Mungo's artisan garmenters are currently in a legal dispute with Shifty Brian's Scrapyard, who offer similar garments made from old SRV tyres at a fraction of the price. Any resemblance to kilts or flat caps is strenuously denied by Harry Mungo. He told our reporter, "So, this is all just meant to undermine my vision and I, like, reject it. Let's see if these, like, negative people can, like, find a coincidence for my next invention. So the Bionicle is like a monocle for both eyes, but, like, unlike a normal monocle, you don't hold it with your eyebrow. That's, like, so bourgeois. So I've invented arms which come out from the Bionicle and fit over your ears to, like, hold it in place." We wish him luck. We would also like a medical team to report to the apology officer's quarters as soon as possible, please, and bring some sedatives. We actually have no idea what that was all about and suspect that the AO has been sniffing the Centauri Mikachin bottles again.
We have a nicely balanced bubble at the moment, with 20% of systems below where they should be and 20% above. And while we like balance, we don't like risk. So look on the helper and get those systems sorted, please. The BGS team would like to welcome Commander Kinrain. I think that's right. Could be Sinrain or even Crayon. Anyway, whatever your name is, welcome to the custodianship of Hill Park C, and congratulations on your first achievement in staving off the Liberals' attempt at, well, liberating the system from us. Not only have we retained control, we have gained Riley Terminal. Now, if you could keep it nice and steady and out of trouble, so I don't have to keep pronouncing the ridiculous names you and your system have. Speaking of elections, we have another one to win. It is finally time to take control of our latest acquisition, Wolf 1481. The election started this morning, so all manner of good things. Data, missions, passengers, trading, repainting planetary bases, sweeping the dust off landing pads, whatever it takes to win this. And that does mean refraining from pew-pew. If you do need to do that, bugger off to Luton as a pirate attack there. A long weekend, and we can have a nice round 24 systems under Alvin's benevolent control. Over in Colonia, obviously Tyr is in election again. So if you're out that way, win that one, please. Remember a few seconds back for the details. There's a boom in Eol Procol Centauri and an outbreak in Deriso, so you can get rich while you're doing it. Over to Norma.
Good evening, everyone. It's time for the rundown as to what everyone else has been up to in the galaxy this week, or is about to get up to next week, of course. First, don't forget the Hutton Mug Meet. Of course, it used to be on the first Friday of the month, but we're flexible, and this month it's on the second Friday, which is the 14th. Fuel your ships up, slap some tritium in your fleet carriers, and make your way over to Hutton for the usual barrage of mug loading, gin drinking, and shenanigans. Can we load up a fleet carrier to the brim with stored mugs? We can certainly try. This Saturday, Team Hotbox and anyone else who wants to come along are taking the Alvin's Paw out to the Anaconda Graveyard in HG76133. You want to make sure that you're on board by Friday evening so you don't miss the trip. Bring an SRV, and if you want to try exploring on the way home, make sure you don't get left behind, as without the paw, you'll be up the nebula without a frame shift. The Dark Wheel expansion team, theme tune for your eyes only, have gone all a little bit canon this week and have started wearing tinfoil hats on a regular basis. As a result of a few twits on Galtwit, they've convinced that a character called Alessia Verdi is going to show them the way. As it stands, their expansion and occupation of systems around Shinrata is going well, but the only hint they've had so far is that they should turn the wheel. We wish someone had done that in the Cubicle 3 outlet, as the sluice gates really need opening. The 8-wheel drive endurance time trials are still ongoing, with Shea Blackwood in first place at the moment, with a time of 19 minutes and 58 seconds. Alec Turner on just shy of 24 minutes, and Teridith on 40 minutes. Find out more courtesy of the Elite Races. And that's it from the Community Diary for this week.